This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, hello. 4 minutes after 12 is the time, and crikey, I got rather taken by surprise by my own programme then. I was just trying to get to the bottom of this Lord Guyot resignation. I think I know exactly what's happened, and I will share it with you, even though that involves a minor breach of Mystery Hour rules. Speaking of Mystery Hour rules, there is, of course, a prize available for my favourite contribution of the day, and that prize is a brand spanking new box full of Mystery Hour board game fun. Currently available, as I mentioned a moment ago, in branches of John Lewis, as well as online at mysteryhour.co.uk and at various other online retailers. But there are rules, because this is now a very grown-up and proper radio programme, although I think we can all agree it wasn't when we invented Mystery Hour. There are now terms and conditions on the website, which you are free to consult at lbc.co.uk. Other than that, the only rubric I am responsible for is a quick reminder of the phone number, 0345 6060973, and then to let Mystery Hour commence. Should we just crack straight on? I mean, if you still need the rules explaining, then just listen for 10 minutes and they should become clear. And then if you break any by accident when you ring in, I'll just tell you off and everyone will be happy, right? So, what, I mean, are there any rules? Not really. You know, if you're going to ring in with an answer, you're not allowed to look it up. That's pretty much all that we've got left, isn't it? It's a sort of obvious, you'd think, but less so if you're just tuning in for the first time. You're not allowed to Google it or look it up. If you looked it up last week because you were helping the kids with their homework, that's fine. That qualifies. That's a qualification. But that's it, I think. 12:05 is the time. Shall we start with Charlotte, who is in Crystal Palace? Charlotte, question or answer?
Oh, James, hi. I've got a question. It should be a walk in the park for you, broadcaster.
Okay? You say that. I'm worried now. Go on.
Okay. How new does news have to be to be considered breaking news? And hopefully, how old does news have to be before it stops being considered as breaking news?
Well, it's not, as you've probably gathered, it's not an exact science.
I miss news flashes, James. I want an old-fashioned news flash when there's real breaking news.
I would actually agree with you, but I think those days are behind us now forever.
Oh, no.
I mean, really, people stick breaking, especially on Twitter. They stick it on anything now. And sometimes all it means is this is the first time we've reported it and it bears no resemblance whatsoever or makes no reference whatsoever to the fact that a rival may have reported it 10 minutes ago. Or I think it's largely meaningless, unfortunately, Charlotte.
I think the end game is to get behind the cause
I don't know what you could do to sort of, what would you do? You'd punish people who claimed that they were breaking a story, as in publishing it or broadcasting it for the very first time before anybody had done so. And if you did that, you'd be punished.
I love it. But, you know, 24-hour rolling news everywhere. Look, when I was growing up in the 70s, it was midday or one-ish, 6 o'clock and then 10 o'clock.
I know.
We got on with our lives in between.
I know, I hear you. Although LBC was around in that era and we're not really doing rolling. Our sister station does rolling news. I think we can... We can pretty much say what it means now is this is just happening now, or this is being published or reported for the first time, or we are irresponsibly claiming that this is being published for the first time because we don't want to admit that our rivals published it 20 minutes ago. That's your lot.
Have you saved it for how long? For an hour?
Even that, I mean, you're going to look a little bit ridiculous if you claim it's breaking an hour after other people reported it. But I think there are instances and examples of people actually doing that. So I truly think it's been rendered utterly meaningless by modernity.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlotte. I'm going to give myself a round of applause if that's all right with you.
You're well done.
Thank you very much. Qualifications, know it all. 12:07 is the time. Thank you, Charlotte. Lily is in Leamington Spa. Lily, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
I was watching Springwatch last night.
Oh, yeah.
And they were on the Isle of Mull, and they were talking about the puffins.
Oh,
yes. And they said that there are these black-back gulls that swallow the puffins whole.
Baby puffins?
No, like adult puffins.
How big are the gulls?
I don't know. I think they're pretty big. Well, they were saying, because like, you'd think that having humans on the land would put the puffins off, but they actually like it, and they go and sit next to the people.
No, they're ludicrously tame puffins. I don't know why, probably because they haven't been conditioned to fear humans, but you see it in North Berwick sometimes.
The humans put the gulls off from eating them.
Right.
Whereas when the humans go, the puffins go back out to sea. But anyway, it's a bit of a morbid question.
Well, go on.
But it's, like, what happens when something gets swallowed whole by something else? Does it stay alive? Does it suffocate? Does it dissolve? what, like?
Well, I think it would be all of the above. It would be alive to start with. I think it, I don't probably.
How long for?
Well, I mean, it depends, doesn't it, on how big it is, or I mean, I don't know what would count as a definitive answer on this one. If you swallow it whole. Yeah. Without killing it first, then it is going to be alive for some of the journey through your body, isn't it? And then I imagine it is more likely to suffocate than be actually killed by the consequences of stomach acids. So, or it might have a heart attack and die of fear on its way down a seagull's gullet. But I imagine it's suffocation. Would that count as an answer if an expert...
I mean, yeah, I suppose, like you say, it probably depends on the animal as well.
I'm just struggling. Were you paying attention? My wife knits now when we're watching telly, and sometimes she misses crucial moments. Were you paying attention? I'm struggling to conceive of a gull big enough to swallow a puffin whole.
I thought that might be the case. I actually went and rewatched it before I called.
Oh, well done.
Sure
that's the level. That's the level of detail and attention that we expect on this program.
Yeah, I'm taking it seriously. Don't worry.
And it was a gull swallowed a puffin hole.
It was a black-backed gull, and yeah, they said that they will swallow them whole. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if it's not true, take it up with Springwatch.
I will. But yeah. I'll specifically ask about that then. So, when a gull swallows a puffin, how does the puffin die?
Yeah.
You're on. Yeah. It is quite Careful. Morbid, actually. Why do you want to know?
Sorry. I don't know. I just thought it was quite interesting.
Your curiosity has been piqued.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lily.
Yeah, that's all right.
We shall do our best. 12:10 is the time. Gulls and puffins. When a gull swallows a puffin whole and unchewed, how does... I mean, I'm thinking of snakes, actually, that most obviously swallow their prey whole and presumably some of them have been crushed first, but I don't... Anyway, Mitch is in Chelmsford. Mitch, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Mitch.
I recently returned from my honeymoon to Costa Rica.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Are you still
mate.
Together? Are you still together?
Just about, even though what I'm about to tell you
intimate.
Challenged it.
Carry on,
but wonderful place, wonderful people, but they were heavy on the mosquitoes over there, James.
While
my wife got bitten perhaps 3 times in the 3 weeks that we were there, I was getting bitten 3 times on the hour, every single hour.
Yeah.
And I want to know what makes me so irresistible to these creatures.
To mosquitoes. So your new wife was not bitten as enthusiastically as you were?
It was constantly, mate. I was getting...
Your wife wasn't?
Yeah, wasn't, yeah. So
yeah.
What's the science between... what are they searching for, these things? I mean, do I look like a curry to them and she looks like a piece of lettuce?
Good question, because everyone listening to this who's ever been on holiday somewhere mosquito-ish will know that some family members get bitten a lot more than others. I'm more like your wife, thankfully. It's one of the rare areas of biology where I appear to have some sort of evolutionary advantage over other people. But I
was even applying like the industry standard sort of repellent all over me ankles and me legs, and they just seem to
gone
through that as well, and she wouldn't need to put any on, wouldn't get bitten.
But no, I'm perhaps not as superpowered as she is. One of my daughters gets bitten a lot, and the other one less so. And my wife gets bitten more than I do, and I don't know. And I look forward to this because I'm in Greece soon, and no doubt the conversation will come up. And if I can keep my counsel until then, after getting a definitive answer, then I'll get that little look on their faces where they go, "Oh, flipping heck, Dad, that's just boring. Why are you even telling us this stuff?" But it's not boring to us, Mitch, which is why I shall endeavour to find out, mate. Thank you. Why do mosquitoes prefer some people to others? 03456060973. Imran is in Ilford. Imran, question or answer?
Can I ask a question, please?
Carry on, Imran.
I was just looking at my passport the other day, just make sure they're all valid. And I've noticed where you have to, where it's all filled in with the name, nationality,
yeah,
etc. It's got it in English and in French. And I'm just wondering why the requirement for French or any other language.
Where does it have it in French? Whereabouts is it in French? I haven't looked at my passport. I need to dig it out, actually. I'm flying to Ireland tomorrow. Thanks for the reminder, actually.
No worries. Where it says name / nom, and then it's got my name underneath it. Where it says nationality, it's got nationality and then the French equivalent.
No, you're right.
So I'm just wondering, why? Why French? And if there was a reason for it back in the day, why is it still on there now? I've never sort of understood that.
No, I mean, I'm thinking about the Norman conquest. I'm wondering whether the origins of the royal family, origins of... That can't be it, can it? Or just... No, I've got absolutely no idea. Why does our passport... I mean, crikey, I'll tell you what, when Nigel Farage finds out about this, it's going to be hell to pay.
He won't be happy.
He won't be happy at all. They've got what? They've got French on a British passport? That's absolutely outrageous.
I'm sure there was a reason. But
there must be a reason. I'm with you now. I'm really... That is a really lovely example of a question that I can't quite believe has never come up before, because that's an absolutely brilliant question about something...
I only noticed it myself for the first time last week, and I thought, I won't research it. I'm going to ring in mystery and see what happens.
That's what we're here for, Imran.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love that. Why is there French on good British passports, which are finally the correct colour, although there's some dispute over whether that is actually black or blue? It's coming up to 12:15. I'll tell you what I'll do quickly, I think, if I may... I'll just talk you quickly through exactly what's gone on with Lord Gyte, or what expert opinion seems to suggest has happened here, because it is not immediately clear. It looks like Chinese steel tariffs. So there were... Actually, I need to double check before I explain it to you. 12:15 is the time.
Some things just add some play to your day. Catching the toast as it pops out of the toaster. Dancing down the street to your favourite playlist. Wearing your sparkly boots to the shop. And best of all, picking the new yellow scratch card.
A yellow scratch card, please. Thank you.
And doing your own drum roll. This is exciting. Add some play to your day with scratch cards from the National Lottery. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
60 minutes after 12. No, I have got it. I do understand exactly, or what I think the most informed expert opinion is on this resignation by Lord Gyte with reference to the World Trade Organization. So last year, the Independent Trade Remedies Authority recommended that the UK remove a number of safeguard tariffs on Chinese steel, presumably to align with World Trade Organization requirements. This led to the steel industry kicking off, because it's been on its knees for a while, and some emergency legislation was introduced, which allowed the Department of Trade to overrule the Trade Remedies Authority, which had found no legal justification for retaining the tariffs. Okay. They were extended for a year, and that expires at the end of this month. So Lord Gyte would have been asked essentially to advise on the legality or otherwise of doing so. It seems likely that the UK will continue to apply the tariffs on Chinese steel, again against the recommendations of the Trade Remedies Authority, but it will not have any legal justification to do so. And so sort of deliberately, if you like, doing something without any legal justification would appear to constitute a breach of the ministerial code. It all goes back to Donald Trump's trade war, with a side order of Brexit, of course, because it would appear now that World Trade Organization rules are bad. And you'll remember that in the run-up to leaving the European Union, an awful lot of people who understand precisely nothing about exactly everything were adamant that living under World Trade Organization rules without any trade deal with our biggest trading partner would be absolutely hunky-dory and absolutely fine. So there it is. And I'm grateful to Sam Lowe, who's a senior visiting research fellow at King's, for that analysis, which I have done my best to convey to you. Back to Mystery Hour, 18 minutes after 12 is the time. Mark is in Telford. Mark, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
So all the land masses, well, the vast majority of the land masses of the world, all appear to be wider at the top in the north, and then taper off and get narrower to the south. So North America, South America, Greenland, Africa, Asia tapers into India. The only one I can think of doesn't is Europe and Australia. And I was wondering if anybody knew why.
Are you sure about this? South America is an absolute humdinger. You've got that. Brazil big at the top, Argentina the sort of bottom spine of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you turned Greenland upside down, it would look that different from...
Okay, yeah, but Greenland isn't that large, is it?
No, Australia is not part of what you describe.
No, Africa does.
Yeah.
North America does. Africa's kind of connected to Europe.
North America does, really. I mean, you've got Mexico coming out the bottom of America, which makes it look like it's tapering. But going east from Mexico, you've got a relatively flat bottom. Where and you know, all of those little islands between Canada and Greenland, you could describe them as a tapering. India, this thinner at the bottom. Is it? Maybe it's the way the human eye works, and we're drawn to the bottom.
Or maybe it's the Mercator
thinner.
Scale of the maps. I'm not sure, but if when you look at the world map,
yeah, you look at Algeria and Libya. If you turned Africa upside down.
Yeah.
It would look as if, it's got a broader bottom. I mean, it's a fascinating question. I'm rubbish at geography. I'm having to look at a map to do it or any of this. I wouldn't have known what was up and what was down otherwise. But I'll put the question on the board with the caveat that it might not actually be a true premise for the question.
Okay, thank you.
But no, like, why do you want to know?
Oh, I know that at one time there was one large landmass, Pangaea, which we call Pangaea, and then it broke up.
And that, so the answer might involve tectonic plates or something like that. It's it looks more sensible, your question, on the map that is sort of ovoid, you know, the one that's like the unfolded globe as opposed to the flat map. So maybe, anyway, I'll put it on board. I hope we get you a nice answer to that. It's a lovely question.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And it's allowed me to sort of just remind myself how absolutely appalling my geography is. That's quite breathtaking. And at risk of going full Alan Partridge, I was about to say something like, God, who would have thought Africa was there? 21 minutes after 12 is the time. Leo is in Hackney. Leo, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
For my 8-year-old, she asked me, how come that we are able to have a conversation with ourselves in our head?
Crikey. That's either very easy to answer or incredibly complicated, and I'm not entirely sure which.
Well, so, you know, it was bedtime, last question of the night. I attempted an answer and started bubbling like our prime minister, saying nothing. And then I tried with the, you know, our hair is connected to the universe. But at the end, I just said, I can't explain it to you.
But what's the source of her confusion? I mean, because really, it's like talking without opening your mouth. I don't see it as being particularly mysterious. It's just,
I guess it's because she's been doing a lot of theater lately.
Yes.
And she was probably rehearsing her play on her head. I really don't know what was going on at that time.
No, I know. I'm just trying to pin down what the answer would look like, because it's not. I mean, is she asking? And
how can I put it to her?
Yeah.
You know, without.
How can Leo explain to his 8-year-old why they have conversations in their head?
Yes.
Okay. I mean. Yeah. We're, fingers crossed, mate, on this one. Because I don't know. We'll try someone. Well, you never know. It might be an area of academia that means someone can actually provide a really easy answer. I love that. Great questions this week. Thank you, Leo. So we're looking for the conversations in your own head. Why can we have conversations in your own head? And it needs to be explained in a way that Leo can then adopt for his 8-year-old. Was it Mark who asked about the countries being why do continents appear to taper off as they head downwards? Why does the passport, the British passport, contain French of all things? Why do mosquitoes find some humans considerably more appetizing than others? When a gull swallows a puffin, how does the puffin die? And I think I went all in on the breaking news one. So that's at least one person who won't be winning the Mystery Hour board game, because it was me that answered that question. Alex is in Fulham. Alex, question or answer?
Hello, James. Hello. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
First-time caller. Love the show.
Good
and
man.
The books.
Thank you.
So, so my question is, why is it that you can remember the music in some songs, but not the lyrics, or vice versa? So, like, the lyrics, but not the actual music.
So it's about musical memory in a way, I guess. I mean, is this going to be an objective answer? Because I'm always struck by how different everybody is in these sort of fields, in the same way that some people can sing in tune and some people can't. Some people have perfect recall.
Yeah, it seems a bit weird to me, because
I can't recall music ever. I can never recall music. If you, even the song that I think I know inside out, if I try to do it unaccompanied, you won't recognise the tune at all.
Yeah, and you seem to like know it better when you have the song kind of playing in the background. Mm. You can just remember it word for word. But it's like, you know, surely it's all just sound, right?
Yeah, but then someone's... So if I tried now to hum to you, let's say... Stone Roses. If I tried to do I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses. That's not even close. No, but happy birthday to you. That's really easy. So that the answer might be contained in those two examples, in that some tunes, for technical musical reasons, lend themselves to ease of recall. And the same with lyrics. I mean, it's like poems. It's like you try to learn a poem. Tumpty, tumpty, tum poems are much easier to remember than complicated blank verse, aren't they?
I suppose so. It's just like the actual instrumental can be so like easy to, like, I don't know, it just sticks in your ear.
Yeah, I think that, like, Happy Birthday being probably the best example of the most easy to remember tune that any of us ever encounter. How are we going to phrase the question? We might have to leave lyrics out of it. So why are some tunes easier to remember than others?
I suppose.
I like that. I mean, we get a side order of lyrics, but we'll focus first on the main course of the music. Thank you, Alex. Why are some tunes easier to remember than others? It's a really good question, that. And my apologies to Ian Brown and John Squire and indeed Manny and Rennie, if they're listening, for my appalling rendition there of one of the finest songs of all time. Did I tell you that? I'm 99% sure Ian Brown was at the next table from me in a vegetarian Indian restaurant in Hammersmith the other day. I was eating my dozer, and I was just thinking to myself that the bloke at the table behind me was either absolutely steeped in that early 90s Manchester culture or pretending to be. And I had no way of knowing. I was trying to read my book while eating the curry, and the accent, the references, I mean, it was almost like a cliche of Mancunian cool from that era, that Madchester era. And it didn't cross my mind that it might actually be one of the great figures from that era, albeit that, as with an awful lot of my heroes from that age, combination of the coronavirus coverage and a couple of other things has rather knocked the gloss off. But then he got up to leave, and I'm pretty sure it was actually him. Anyway, I digress slightly. 12:27 is the time. Wendy is in Glasgow. Wendy, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
It's in relation to the two languages, English and French, on passports.
Yes.
I previously worked in the airport, and we were trained by immigration officers for part of our profiling course.
Oh, yes.
And the reason they use two languages is because they were the two sort of widely spoken languages in the world. So if you are, say, from an English-speaking country, then your second languages are French. If you're a French-speaking country, your second language will be English. If you're another country like Spain, Italy, Brazil, the government will decide which language will be the second language, either English or French.
But why do I need a second language on it, given that I speak my first language fluently?
I think the idea is, so if you're going through the likes of immigration, etc., it's the chances are, hopefully, someday will be able to pick up.
I'm feeling a little bit flimsy here, because I'm going to contradict you on this one. I think it dates back to French being the language of international diplomacy.
It's also, I think, from what they told us, it also goes back to, I think, as well, from when the UK and France had really large colonies.
That will be part of it, but that would explain why France is the international language of diplomacy. I think that is the answer.
Yeah.
So, because passport is a French word, I think they sort of invented international diplomacy in this sense, and that's why the sort of it's called a lingua franca, isn't it? The sort of the language that is a sort of default for everybody would have been French for a very long time. So, I think that's the answer. I'm going to give you the round of applause.
Okay.
But I think it's more to do with diplomatic history and tradition than it is to do with the popularity of the respective languages.
It is definitely more to do with that, because of the history behind it.
Let's do it. Round of applause for Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, thank you, Wendy. Nicely done. And don't tell Nige, is all I can think of saying in response to that reminder from Imran that the passport has flipping French on it, of all things. It's coming up to 12:30. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Still lots of questions in need of answers, but still, of course, time for you to get your question on the board after Amelia Cox brings you the very latest headlines.
Welcome to everyone's favourite game show, The Motorway Way, where car dealers compete to give you the best price for your car. Okay, Val, are you ready to sell?
Very ready.
Thousands of car dealers are waiting to bid.
£12,000.
£12,200.
£12,500.
You've sold your car.
That was easy.
Motorway, the way to sell your car. Sell your car at motorway.co.uk.
56% of customers received a higher sale price than the agreed reserve price.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
32 minutes after 12 is the time. I'm always keen to take constructive criticism. Tom just tweeted, Lord Guitebomb has just dropped and you and Alex are humming happy birthday on the radio. Where is Theo Usherwood? I'm pretty sure we've covered it, mate. I don't know whether you're listening on delay or something like that or whether you've only just got up, but I'm pretty sure we've done chapter and verse, including the explanation of the role of steel tariffs playing in proceedings, which haven't actually been reported or properly explained in the context of either letter. But if there are further developments and more news, I'm sure Theo will come cartwheeling into the studio imminently. 12:32 is the time, and I was rather enjoying that little musical interlude when Alex and I started humming happy birthday, albeit from rather different perspectives. Nina's in St. Albans. Nina, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Nina.
So it's the answer to why mosquitoes find some people tastier than other people.
Oh, yes.
And I have something called thalassemia trait. I don't know if you've heard of thalassemia.
I have not, no.
So it was it's a blood disorder in people that often come from hot countries. My dad's Italian,
okay.
But it's lots of African countries, etc. as well.
Right.
And it means that we have less hemoglobin, so we always look anemic when we have a blood test, even though we're not.
Okay.
We have less hemoglobin, less red blood cells, and mosquitoes particularly hate us. Because we are not as bloody. So that's one reason. But the other reason also is they prefer warmer body temperatures because they're cold-blooded creatures.
Oh.
And also they prefer smellier people, but not smelly as determined by us, but smelly according to their standards.
Well. So there's lots of little variables. So you're golden then when you're in hot countries. You hardly ever get bitten.
I'm golden. I never get bitten, though. And right. I researched this as a teenager because there are downsides to this, obviously. I feel more tired than usual. I have to keep really fit, keep the oxygen flowing around my body.
Right.
And when I was a teenager, very resentful of why I had this thalassemia trait, I did my research and found out there are actually numerous benefits, including
found a silver lining, so to speak, albeit that that's a pretty... It's a pretty good answer, isn't it? That's pretty going to cover it, and the other bits as well, sort of warmth, body temperature, because you have slight differences in that, which a mosquito is going to pick on, and pheromones would be the smell, would
pheromones.
It? Giving off
that's the smell. Well,
round of applause for Nina. Well, lovely answer.
Yay!
Great work.
Oh, you've made my day, made my week, made my life, James. Thank you.
What can I say, Nina? It's I'm here to serve. 12:34 is the time. Mandy is in Epsom. Mandy, question or answer?
Hello, question.
Hello,
please.
Mandy. Yes.
There. Right. I just wanted to know why Australians do not have any kind of regional dialects, considering how far they are from each other. They all kind of speak the same.
Do you mean accents or dialects?
I meant accents. Did I say dialects? Sorry,
yeah.
Accents.
Yeah. No, that's
regional
fine.
Regional accents.
I think you're wrong.
No. I'm wrong.
I think you are. I think there are different accents in Australia.
Indeed, there might be, right?
Yeah.
For 10 years.
Oh, the phone line's driving me potty. I don't know what's happened to it. I'll give you one more chance, but if it goes clicky like that again, I'm going to have to come back to you in a minute. Go on.
Okay, so I lived there for 10 years.
Right.
And particularly you do meet people that speak...
Oh, there, it's gone. I thought that was going to happen. It's almost like I'm psychic. We'll try and get an answer for that, or we'll try and get her back up. But the regional accents, I guess, because there's three accents, isn't there, in Australia that they talk about, but I don't think they're regional. They're more to do with class. Why are they not? Probably because it's quite a new country. So, but then everyone would have... I don't know. Tim's in Market Harbour. Tim, question or answer?
Answer, hopefully.
Carry on.
Love the show. Love you and Sheila.
Thank you.
I listen to you every day.
Thank you. You should stick around, Reddy. He's brilliant.
So, I think the why we talk to ourselves in our heads relates to a book that I read called The Chimp Paradox.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you've ever read that.
No, I haven't. Go on.
Well, basically, we separate ourselves from animals thousands of years ago in terms of they only have a basic brain that has fight or flight. Or shelter or procreate.
Sure.
Whereas we developed a human brain which would give us the opportunity to apply logic to the situation. So therefore, say, white van man cuts you up on the motorway. Hmm. Your first feeling is flash him, chase after him, you know, have a fight with him. And that's your chimp, that's your basic memory saying, sorry, that's your basic brain saying fight or flight.
Yes.
But the human brain takes about 7 seconds longer to kick in, and then it says, just let him go. Just let him go. There's no point in having a crash. No point in ruining your day waiting for the AA on the side of the road. Just let him go. He's bound to cause himself a problem later down the line. So it's a basic difference between animals and humans.
It's a consequence of evolution. Is this the answer that Leo's daughter is going to be... Was it daughter or son? I can't remember. Is this the answer that Leo's child is going to be looking for? Is that going to work for an eight-year-old?
I think he needs to read The Chimp Paradox.
Don't be ridiculous. He wants to do it at bedtime tonight. He hasn't got time to read a book to
him. Maybe he could start reading the book to her at night time. That would definitely get her off to sleep.
I was going to say, I don't know where the last time you were on bedtime duties with an eight-year-old was, but it's all about the Gruffalo these days, mate. You don't want to be reading The Chimp Paradox. I say these days. It was when mine were that age, 10 years ago. Having a more sophisticated process for analysing the world around us, we'd be describing things and thinking. It's thinking. This is why I was uncomfortable with the question, because it's just thinking that she's describing, isn't it? Words in our head is thinking. Conversation.
But you'd have to talk to her about why it's happening. I am still a pretty loud guy, and one of my jobs, my boss got me to read it, and it really did change my life, because it shows you how other people interact with you and why they're doing what they're doing, and often they're reacting to their chimp, their basic mind, which is, you know, you say something, anything, quite innocently, and they will think that you've meant something else, and they react badly, but it helps you say, well, they probably didn't mean that.
It's like a kind of edit button or a pause button, which allows you to more effectively process the information around you rather than having a sort of knee-jerk response. I'm going to give you the round of applause on that. Thank you, Tim. Maybe room for an embellishment, but I don't know. 12:39 is the time. Mandy is in Epsom. Mandy, question or answer?
Oh, hello, question.
You back again?
I'm back again. So basically, I'm just saying this quickly in case you get cut off again, but in case it goes wrong.
Okay.
So you challenged me on that in terms of different...
Politely, though. Don't make it sound like I was being like a bear with a sore head. I was only...
I understand. Yeah. But you were right to do so, because, yes, indeed, there are some different accents, but they're not regional.
No.
So you'll get your educated accent, but that could be somebody in Perth or somebody in Sydney. They'd speak exactly the same.
Ah.
You'd get a bush kind of, what they call bush accent.
That'd be like Crocodile Dundee. Mick Dundee.
Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you've got your general sort of population. And then, of course, you've got Indigenous. And that's another story, because obviously the way they speak English might be different again. But
yes, of course.
Your general population. So you do have a kind of round these three accents, I'd say.
But they're more to do with socioeconomics than geography.
I would say so, yeah. And I don't understand how that...
No,
why
nor do
that
I.
Is.
It's a brilliant question.
No.
I'll try and find out
for
you.
Thank you very much.
No, I really like... Is there not... Do Melbourne people not sound different from Sydney people?
Oh, absolutely. No way. No. If you're in a little suburb, because I did live closely to where there's like a big Italian population, they might bring a little twang to it, the Italian community.
Yeah.
But that's different again, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, no, it is. It's Strine, isn't it? The rural one, the bush Australian. They call it Strine, I think. Strine.
Yeah, there you go.
Strine.
Yeah.
Got it. That's a brilliant question. Strine. That's fine. I mean, there should...
The true blue Aussies speak how they speak.
There you go. I saw a... Barry Humphreys on stage last weekend, the one before last, but when he's in his different characters and then his normal accent, he'd be like whatever you call it, the posh version of Australian when he's in his normal character. I don't know what Dame Edna is though, the Melbourne housewife. Was she a Melbourne housewife or a Sydney housewife? I can't remember. 12:41 is the time. Polly's in Northampton. Polly, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Hello, Polly.
Hi. Can I just really quickly say, I'm quite nervous about this. I've won this question by a lot of people and no one knows the answer, so I thought I'm going to call in.
Okay. Don't be nervous.
That's a hard one.
Don't be...
Well, that one about the Australian accent is quite hard to follow.
All right, go on.
I'm an organ donor. We can obviously donate organs, etc., after death.
Mm.
My mum just had a hip replacement, and they fitted it with some sort of metal.
Yeah.
Why can we not so long as they're healthy, donate bones after death as well.
Because there's no need.
I know, but maybe before there was metal or something, maybe before...
No, I mean, the your mum's new hip is better than having someone else's old one.
Yeah.
Why do you sound so disappointed?
Go on. No, I know. Because I wanted it to go on the board.
Well, it can't really, because, I mean, it's all... I don't want to sound rude, but it's bloody obvious, isn't it?
I thought it was a really good question. Okay, what about...
Just because I've answered it doesn't mean it's not a good question.
Okay, thanks.
Why aren't bones donated after death? Because nobody wants your old bones, Polly.
Well, no.
It's the short answer. Well, who would? In what circumstances you're thinking about a hip replacement operation. Why don't they use someone else's old hip? Because that's already going to be old.
Mm-hmm.
It might still be functioning. Sure. The person whose hip it was might not have needed a hip replacement, but they're going to be closer to needing a hip replacement than a brand spanking new titanium hip, aren't they?
Right. Okay, well, what about then if it's just a normal... A terrible break that can't be fixed with putting in metal. So, like a really bad fracture that they have surgeries and all that sort of stuff that's not fixed, and it stick an arm bone in there.
This isn't like a jigsaw puzzle. This is the arm bone that you're replacing will be very, 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 very closely calibrated with the rest of the bones. Right. The idea that some random person who's recently passed away having exactly the right size bone for your arm as opposed to machine tooling it or but no, Polly, it's not. It's not. However much you wriggle. I'm not getting angry. I dare you suggest
that. No, you hate it.
I don't hate it. The longer it goes on, the more frustrated I am going to become. So I think I'll just take the round of applause now. Thank you.
Thanks.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Someone will tell me that I'm wrong. But I don't think there's going to be a better answer than nobody wants anybody else's old bones on this occasion. It may be, I don't know, Frankenstein, possibly? Dr. Frankenstein, maybe? Thank you, Polly. Linda, this is made up now. After I made such a mess of Kakugbri yesterday, I'm going to have a crack at this one. Culty Braggan.
Linda? That's it. Culty Braggan, yeah.
There we go. Question or answer, Linda?
It's an answer from a true blue Aussie.
Oh, fantastic. This is awful. I'm going to start lapsing into an Australian accent now, and I'm not intending to, but it's almost contagious, isn't it? Go on, what have we got?
That's all right. Give it a go. It's fairly boring, really. I think we just haven't been around long enough.
Yeah.
So that's why we've got, like you say, we've got regional dialect. You can hear words, the way people say certain words or the words that they use that could let you know, give you an idea of where they come from. Like in Adelaide, they tend to be more sort of, they say dance and France and things like that.
Okay.
But Melbourne tend to say, they'll say Melbourne. We don't say Melbourne or anything like that. It's Melbourne. Whereas, up in Sydney and other areas, they might say a bit more Melbourne.
But there's no, so it is just the population being relatively young in the historical sense, because accents, there's all sorts of theories as to how they develop. But things like if you're in an industrial area, then the oxygen, the fact that there's a lot of smog around. This is one of the theories behind the Black Country accent, because everybody's nose is blocked all the time with all the smog and stuff going on.
It's the same with the Australian accent, because there's a theory. Well, I don't know if it's my theory if I read it, but there's a theory that they were all talking very very British when they arrived in Australia. But of course, it's so sunny there that everyone started squinting. So if you try speaking with a British accent and squint, you suddenly sound Australian.
Oh, that's a fantastic theory. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Blimey.
So that's the easiest way. If you want to put on an Australian accent, just squint.
And what do they say about if you do an Irish accent while you're holding your nose, you'll sound like an American as well or something? But there is a sort of tight, there's a facial tightness to the Australian accent, isn't there, Linda? But now that you're in Scotland, where it's not so hot, do you find that your accent is diluting slightly as your face relaxes?
Well, weirdly, I've been here for 15 years and people still obviously just ask me where I came from. It's no different. It's not changed anywhere.
I love it.
And they laugh if I try to put on a Scottish accent.
So we've got white collar, blue collar and country going on, really, in
pretty
Australia.
Pretty much, and Queensland. Queensland's a bit of a thing, you can sometimes guess Queensland. But that's about it. Because they do tend to be a little bit more broad up there, but I'm probably going to get roasted.
Oh, you've been very diplomatic. You've been very diplomatic. I love it.
Can I tell you that Jay Burden is from Moonee Ponds in Melbourne?
From where?
Moonee Ponds.
That's right, of course she is. And that is that quite a genteel area? That's...
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I think she was a bit of a hyacinth bouquet.
I was about to say she's something of a social climber. Poor old Norm. Hey, thank you, Linda. That was lovely stuff.
Round of applause.
No worries. Okay. There we go. Just to conclude, just in case anyone was doubting your Australian credentials, we're going out on a no worries. 12:47 is the time.
Some things just add some play to your day. Catching the toast as it pops out of the toaster. Dancing down the street to your favourite playlist. Wearing your sparkly boots to the shop. And best of all, picking the new yellow scratch card.
A yellow scratch card, please. Thank you.
And doing your own drum roll. This is exciting. Add some play to your day with scratch cards from the National Lottery. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:50 and still in need of answers. I'm going to get rinsed, aren't I, on the bone question. So, Polly, I'm probably going to owe you an apology. Apology. That's not very funny, is it? All right. I'm keeping my other rounds of applause, though. James is in Bracknell. Come on, then. Be gentle.
James?
Yeah?
How you doing, short-term listener? I'm Australian NFL hip and knee replacement, so I might be able to help you with a couple of things.
Fantastic. You couldn't make it up, could you? An Australian is coming on after. I love it. Anyway, go on. What have you got?
So we do use what's called an allograft. So it comes from a dead person. We use bone, we use ligaments, we use all different types of stuff. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to create a scaffold with the bone. So if you haven't got enough bone after an accident or anything like that, we're going to create a scaffold. And then the immune cells are going to come in and they're going to, repair that defect.
Like a graft.
So basically, exactly. That's what it's called. It's called a graft. You can do what's called an autograft. So it'll come from you, so from somewhere around your pelvis, areas that you don't really need.
Yeah.
But then if you've got a massive defect, let's say you've smashed your face on the steering wheel or something like that,
yes,
then you can use different types of bone to sort of fill in that void. Then the immune cells will come in. They irradiate it so that there's no sort of damaging cells in there. And then, it'll create a scaffold to then refill the bone that's missing.
Two questions. Number one, how did you end up flogging hip replacements in the UK, in Bracknell?
I did it in Australia. I escaped lockdown because we had one of the worst lockdowns in the world in Melbourne. Made my way over here and was lucky enough to get a job with a good British company.
Fantastic. And secondly, do you speak with broad, general or cultivated Australian, do you think?
What do you mean?
Well, the three main varieties are broad, general, and cultivated.
I don't know what that means, to be honest.
Broad would be like an ochre.
Okay.
So you're not an ochre. You don't sound like an ochre, do you?
So there is subtle accents. We can tell South Australians, especially, they sound a lot more English. But it is very subtle. So perhaps to the untrained ear, you wouldn't notice it. But
it all sounds the same.
It all sounds similar, yeah.
I think you're general. I'd say you were closer to sort of Hugh Jackman, Ian Thorpe, rather than cultivated, which would be a Geoffrey Rush.
Well, I'll take that.
I'm going to give it. Anyway, you've got a round of applause. I can't believe you've come on after the last caller, after the question about Australian accents to answer, to make me look like a fool. Of course they do use, but they don't use whole bones. So it's anyway. Sorry, Polly. Please accept my apologies. I'm sticking with that gag, even though it's appalling. Thank you, James. Paul's in Ashton. Paul, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
To the music question about why is the music more memorable than the words? It's because the music is repeated throughout the song.
Right.
Repetition is one of the pillars of
memory,
being able to remember something.
Of course.
That's why all the ads in the ad breaks are all the same all the time.
And why are some tunes easier to remember than others? Is it the same reason?
If they use a small number of notes that are repeated, that makes them more memorable.
So everyone can remember He's just a poor boy from a poor family. He's just a poor boy from a poor family.
Because that's just general repetition because we've heard it so much.
And it's quite a simple tune. And then if you were trying to like do a complicated sonata or something like that, it would be both more complicated and less repetition.
Yes.
Qualifications? I like this answer.
I do courses on memory technique and train people in how to remember things for revision and presentations and anything you want to remember.
How cool. I mean, at risk of giving away trade secrets, what's the sort of, I mean, is the most important thing repetition? Is that would be the beginning of it?
No, it's one of them. Yeah. The most important thing is visualization.
Yes. It's my namesake. Dominic O'Brien was a world beater
absolutely.
On this, wasn't he? Yes.
Yeah. And it's all about visualizing, pouring information into a movie so you can remember it.
When I do a hook and tease, Paul, I don't know if you're familiar with the terminology.
Yeah.
So when I do a hook and tease and I say to people, here's a mystery or here's a game, find out later. And then I always forget. Is there anything I can do specifically to improve that part of my broadcasting arsenal?
The thing that you're wanting to remember later, visualize, turn it into a tiny little movie in your mind.
Right.
And visualize it on your monitor that's in front of you in the top left-hand corner or wherever it is you go to before you get into the show. Whenever you look at that point on the screen, you'll run that little movie and go, I've got to tell them about fish cakes or whatever it was. What little gem you have.
So it's a bit like there's a new therapy called brain spotting, which focuses slightly on putting things in your brain in relation to a screen or having it. I like that idea because So what I'll do is I'll try that tomorrow, but unfortunately I might not remember. Shall I do it now to remind myself to try it tomorrow, or would that not work?
Keep doing it every day.
So I'm putting a little film in the top left-hand corner of the screen, which is called the Hook and Tease film, and it's a little dancing animation of some hooks. I don't know what a tease would look like, so it's just lots of hooks. And
well,
so
why not make it a hook and hang on it every day, the topic that it is you're going to reveal?
Baby steps, Paul, baby steps.
Okay.
I've got it there. So tomorrow I'll come into work, I'll power up the old computer, and hopefully at some point I'll remember that I'm going to do the experiment on hooks and teasers using Paul's advice.
Absolutely. Look top left of your screen and you'll see it. And actually looking up and to the left actually helps you remember stuff anyway. So whenever you're trying to think of something to remember, look up and to the left and it'll increase your chances of remembering.
This is amazing stuff. Keith, you're not allowed to remind me, all right? I'm going to do this properly in laboratory conditions. Round of applause for Paul, please. Andy's in Tunbridge. Andy, question or answer?
Answer to your continence question.
Yes.
So I'm not completely convinced that a definitive answer is available for this.
No, me neither.
So plate tectonics, you mentioned plate tectonics. Now, when the supercontinent existed, the bottom of South America, the bottom of Africa, and the bottom of India were all joined together. So if you think about like the segments of an orange, that's kind of how the bottom of that part of the continent existed. And it butted up against what is the landmass of Antarctica. Now, when they all broke away, they all kind of moved in their different directions. And I think that's the reason why those three continents have got that shape. The top of South America actually butted into the crook of the Gulf of Mexico, which is why you've now got that finger of Mexico that comes down. Again, and anything else is probably coincident.
Mm.
Now, mountain chains, obviously.
I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to run out of time, and I want to give you a round of applause. Qualifications?
Cartography degree.
How many have you got now? You do your on almost every week. This is a mark of your brilliance, but also of the quality of the questions.
If I have to start taking records for this. Will be six today.
Because we might have to get Professor Hallon soon to find out how many he's got, if he's kept count.
Yeah,
I think you've got a way to go, though, before you catch up with Professor Hallon. You've got another one. Here it is. And I'd be a contender for a ball game if I haven't given you one already, but I'm going to give it to Mitch because he's just back from his honeymoon. Mitch with the mosquito question. It could have been almost anyone this week. Absolutely first-class mystery hour, but Mitch is the only one who has recently returned from honeymoon, and as we all know, they'll be looking for something new to do in the evening soon as the
as the reality sets
as
in.
The marriage develops. So So it's going to be a mystery and board game. That's it from me for another day. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 10. That was the rudest joke I've ever told on the radio without being rude. Sheila Ferguson.
That wasn't rude. That was quite sweet. No, yeah, that was all right. That was okay.
Thank you.